Okay, let's call our meeting to order for Wednesday, August 12th, 2026, Police and Fire Commission. Roll call, members present, except for Dan Becker, who's absent and excused. Are there any public appearances, comments, or correspondence? No? Okay, hearing none. Then as far as my comments, just one thing. I had a long conversation today with a resident, Mike Keller, who's concerned about e-bikes in the city and thinks we maybe want to look at some more either regulations or ordinances or education. I have to admit I'm more a fan of education than enforcement, but he seems to be a he seems to think there's a problem with e-bikes, motor scooters, hoverboards, those type of things, and I think it's something we may want to address. So I'd just like to challenge the police department to come perhaps in September with some ideas how we can move forward on that, or suggestions other communities have found to be helpful. Okay, that's it for my comments.
Mr. Chairman, may I?
Yes, sir.
As long as you brought it up, thank you.
Yes, go ahead.
I just want to be sure our current bike helmet law applies to any of these e-bike classifications. True?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
In some cases, more so because the e-bikes, as people call them, aren't actually bicycles, but motorcycles.
Right. So, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we can move on then to a review of the minutes from our June 17th meeting. Is there any corrections or comments to be made on that? Hearing none, is there a motion to accept those minutes from the June 17th meeting?
So moved.
I'll second.
Motion and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, those pass. Okay, then it's always the fun part here, recognition of service anniversaries, and quite a few this month. In the police department, we have Taylor Russell with 10 years of service, Jason Bergen, 25 years of service, Jordan Cook, 9 years, Gaitlin Volm, 4 years, Jacob Zagorski, 4 years, and then over at the fire department, we have Jacob Hodorf with 5 years of service, Eric Ibes, 27 years, Nick Gilbank with 3 years, Rick Colchin, 20 years, Olson Molenda with 4 years, and Jeff Teachin with 40 years of service. As always, the PFC thanks them and wants them to understand the community appreciates their efforts. And Chief, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I think I will. So tonight, one of our officers, Jason Bergen, who has reached a 25-year milestone with our department, is here tonight with some family. Because he reached the 25 years, we have a little gift for him in a very nice gift bag. And I didn't wrap it because, first of all, I'm not good at it, and all I had was Christmas paper. So we got a little something for you. But before we give that to him, say a couple things about Jason. First off, I still remember field training Jason 25 years ago. We were both a lot younger and had a lot less gray hair. But he's done a great job for us ever since. Some of the things that he's done has been as a bike patrol officer. He's currently our SRO. He's been on the honor guard for the department, and he's gotten special training in clan lab cleanup. So he sometimes assists other agencies if they have like a meth lab, things like that, which is a little bit more complicated than your normal call. So if Jason would come up, I'll present him with his gift and your gift bag.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it. Congratulations. Thank you for your 25 years. Do you want to introduce your family?
Sure. Have them. With me tonight, I'm very lucky. I have my wife, Liz.
Go to the microphone, please.
All right. I have my
wife Liz sitting over here with us, and then our children, JJ, from right to left. We have Bella and Grant way on the end. So, yeah. And I have a daughter who's at Creighton University, so.
Wonderful.
She's fantastic. Starting her junior year, so.
Thank you very much for your service.
Well, thank you.
Just one question. What has changed in 25 years at the police department?
Ooh, what? The easy one. We're getting a new building. Hey.
Yeah.
But, starting out with no computers in the squad car to now where it's like to the point where do I sit? It's almost like a cockpit where we're going to get in there tight. We got everything that we need. Policing's changed. Yeah. In the 25 years, it has gone fast. And I wouldn't change the path at all. So I'm proud. It's a great city to work for. So thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And thanks for being here, you guys.
Mr. Chairman.
Only 25 more years to go.
Joe would like to make a comment.
Yeah, I just wanted to add my thanks to Officer Bergen. Thank you so much for your service to our community. And as you know better than anybody, no one serves alone. So thank you to the family as well. I know it's difficult to say goodbye to your husband and your father each morning and pray that they come home safely. But Jason's done a phenomenal job for us, and we appreciate your service and that of your families. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Any other comments? Okay, then we can move on. So we'll start with the police department tonight and let's review and discuss June and July bills. Any commissioners have questions about the bills for June and July?
Yes, I had a question. I did address it through the city a little earlier today, but I had a question on the July invoices for the We Energies specifically to the public safety building, because I believe it is still considered under project and that should be going to the project coordinator. In reaching out to Rob Vandernoven, I did get an email back. The We Energies charges should have been made to the project, not to PD. He will get that reclassified. And then moving forward, We Energies charges will be split between PD and FD. And we questioned the parking lot lights, which again, they're working on.
We hope they are, yeah.
Because they have been on 24/7 since they installed them. So that's where my question started originally when I sent it to Rob.
So. Yeah. And as I explained earlier, that's a building automation issue, and they're still working the kinks out of that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments about the invoices at the police department? No? Okay. Hearing none, let's move along to the budget. And this is the second quarter budget. Any questions on that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
So if I'm reading this correctly, we're at 77% of overtime wages.
Probably, yes.
So a couple questions on that, Chief. If I just want to be sure I'm reading this correctly. If that were to continue, we'd be at 154% here.
Yes.
This isn't like a prorated or... Okay.
No.
And this seems like, and I know it's not your issue, but it just seems like every year we're over on overtime wages. Is as we approach budget time and including our meeting this Friday, is this something we go to the city with and say, "Who are we kidding?" every year we go over. Wouldn't they like to know the real number? Or I don't want to get into the weeds on the political process here, but is it just? I mean, are we in denial? It's over every year. We know it's going to be over. Why don't we just budget it?
They are aware of that also, based on the meetings I've had with the city so far.
So plenty of smart people, they know they're
aware that we're going to go over. Now, some of that, I mean, the overtime budget fluctuates from year to year based on a number of things. last year or the year before was particularly bad. I wasn't the chief then, but I can make an educated guess based on my position and what I know. Yeah. Because we were three officers short, you know, for a good portion of that year. This year, I'm not sure exactly why we're over as much as we are, but typically the beginning of the year tends to be, and particularly the summer, tends to be a little bit worse.
A lot of festivals.
Festivals, vacation time. And when we're at minimum staffing, it only takes one person then to call in sick or have some other issue, paternity leave, whatever it happens to be. And then we're backfilling shifts, and that's where you get a lot of the overtime. And, you know, some of this, for instance, I don't remember exactly how many hours we had because of fish day, but that'll be reimbursed by fish day. So, I mean, some of those hours aren't necessarily our overtime cost. It's somebody else's. So,
is there a number you can attribute to the Vantage data center?
Vantage really hasn't, aside from issues. And now that you mentioned it, that's probably where a lot of this came from, you know, having extra security for council meetings. Mm-hmm. If you want to attribute that to them, that's fair. But Vantage, the data center itself, has not caused us a lot of overtime issues. Our main calls up there, because you've got a couple thousand people all who have cell phones and are moving around. Our main calls up there are cell phone 911 misdials. There have been some traffic issues, and they're kind of getting split between us and the sheriff's department. And mostly that's, you know, sloppy roads because of mud and stuff like
that. And when there's a request for additional traffic support there, I'm pretty sure that the sheriff gets reimbursed by Vantage. Is that something we get reimbursed for, or do we just not do it?
We have not been doing it because, frankly, we don't have the personnel that are interested in coming in on a I can't staff somebody there on a consistent basis to help out with the traffic direction. Now that traffic direction is going to change a little bit in the near future, because as you may have noticed, the traffic lights that were approved well earlier in the year have finally been getting put up by DOT.
Right.
So those traffic lights are going to kind of take the place of some of that traffic direction.
Okay. And is that kind of, if we were to do it, do you see it as kind of a break even as opposed to a revenue generator?
It would be a break even.
Just a break even. Yeah. So more work for you, but break even for the budget.
Yeah, we can't really charge them
with
a profit.
Okay.
Don't take a profit, so.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions about the budget?
Do you contemplate more training happening during the year? Because I see we're already at 100% as of half of the year.
Any specialized training probably will get turned down for the rest of the year because of that. However, there is mandatory training that we still have to do this fall, and that consists of our in-service training, which really we try to schedule on officers' regular days on, so we don't incur overtime from that. And currently, we're using WCTC, which is a pretty good bargain deal for us because they provide a day's worth of training, and I think it's like $35 an officer. So that really isn't a huge hit to the training budget, but that's that training will be necessary for the rest of the year.
Does that number of $35 an officer get attributed to the training budget? Do you know? It does. All right, very good.
I got to look to my budget person over there to say yes. That's where it goes.
All right, good. Thank you.
And just again, following up with the percentages, question with the maintenance contracts. So those obviously are on the old facility.
Yes.
And we continue, you know, they stay coming out of your budget even when you're moved into the new place?
We have to look at what the maintenance contracts will be for the new place and work that into the 27 budget.
Okay.
But
okay.
That's good to know.
And obviously the vehicle maintenance we can't do much about.
No, we can't. And it's, that's I mean, that's up there too.
Yeah, that's at 91.
And I've discussed this already with the finance director, and essentially we didn't get two new cars this year. And so our primary cars are that much older and needing that much more maintenance. And I told him, I don't really expect that that's going to change anytime this year because they just continue to accumulate miles. So I anticipate that'll get better next year when we can replace those cars and then have some newer, fresher vehicles in the fleet. So,
yeah, thank you.
Okay, any other questions? No? Okay. Okay, hearing none, then we'll move on to municipal court statements.
Calls for service?
I'm sorry.
No, my bad. Okay, yep. I'm just looking at the flow here.
Yep, municipal court statements and any questions there? No, hearing none. Then we can move on to calls for service.
There we go.
And we have both June and July's calls for service. Any questions there?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Quick question for the chief. Chief, I don't mean to put you on the spot, so feel free to answer this when we meet on Friday or whatever, but wastewater treatment plant calls, what are those?
So ever since I've started, wastewater has got somebody in the building 24/7, 365. Dispatch makes a call about every hour after about 10 p.m. till about 6 a.m. to check on that person to make sure that they're okay.
That's important. Yeah.
Yeah. So they must be creating some calls for that.
So they're not incidents per se, they're just businesses.
They're not incidents, they're basically a welfare check. Yep. And we've done, ever since we had our own dispatchers, we call every hour to make sure that that person is answering, not that they've fallen into a something.
Smart.
Or have some other move, or some other problem, so.
Beautiful, thank you.
Okay, any other questions on calls for service? Okay, hearing none. And one last thing is the Wisconsin information-based reporting. And any questions there? Okay, quiet group tonight. Okay, hearing none. Then we can move on to the chief's report.
Okay, so I've got two items, even though only A is on there. But for the update for the public safety building, we continue to move things over there. Today I had our evidence tech team move everything from our evidence room as far as collecting the evidence over to the new PD. They did a fantastic job. They got it all done in a couple hours. They are putting everything away, labeling the new locations for these things. The only snafu we ran into is, like I said, in that room, there was a lack of shelving in the cupboards. So I have arranged to get some more shelving brought over to us for that. Tomorrow we'll be bringing, IT was in today. They started working on our computers, and I identified our priority computers, two of which are in the property room, so that now the property room can be secured. And we can start getting our evidence over there, our actual taken evidence over there, which myself and one of the property officers will be doing tomorrow morning, trying to transfer as much of that as we can. Phone system for the whole city is up and operational. The phones that I could plug in that were extra at the new PD have been plugged in. They are working. On a side note, I didn't know how this would work, but I was at the new PD. I dialed the extension for the old PD, one of the phones, and somebody answered. And I said, hey, I'm at the new PD, and this is actually working. We can talk back and forth. It is the little it's the little victories that mean a lot. What we're going to be looking at now coming up in the short term is really working on trying to get some of the computers over there and monitors and getting those set up. The plan is to try and get a clerk over at the new location so that we can start operating out of there. And then once we can do that, We can start moving other stuff over. Officers have already started moving things for their lockers and their personal, like their workspace stuff. Today I got all their entry fobs programmed. So today they received their fobs and their keys so they can have access to the building now. So like I said, we're really going to start trying to move stuff over as much as possible shortly. They all seem to be pretty excited about it. The only one big thing that's left to do is we were going to use movers to move some of our stuff. But as we looked through the list of things that we were going to have the movers do, we found that a lot of the things are already either there or we don't need to take because they were covered by the things that were purchased with the building. So we kind of forewent that, and I've convinced a group to work for pizza, and we're going to rent a U-Haul and get a couple of decent dollies and haul that stuff over ourselves one evening. So that's kind of where we're at.
Just don't forget to move the PFC's file cabinet over.
Yeah, I got to talk to you guys about that because that's,
I know Ed is looking
forward.
Don't forget
about that because that you guys still have to do that. So, yeah.
Right. Work for pizza too, so.
Is there a date that you hope to have everything transferred over and be in there?
September 15th. Okay. I hope we're operational out of there. I mean, probably next week, I'm hoping. Yeah. But I know I have a month. My main concentration is getting everything over there that we need. We can fine tune it later, but then I know I have a couple weeks to be able to still go back and access things. Because there are, you think about all the stuff you accumulate over 30 years sure. and trying to figure out what can stay and what should go, or what we don't need, whatever. So.
Exactly, yeah. And just one other question I had, and it also involves Chief DeBoer, is have you come to an agreement on, things within the building, who's responsible for certain things, or have you had opportunity to talk about that yet?
We talk about it on an almost daily basis.
Yeah, we see each other more than I think we probably see our families right now.
Yeah.
We've been working through that as things come up. In fact, we just finalized, we're doing the fire alarm system, they're doing the sprinkler system stuff. So trying to keep it as equitable as possible in areas that make sense. We still have some things to work on as far as interior maintenance, that kind of stuff. But anything that we can share, we will work on doing.
Great. Commissioners, any other questions on that subject?
Just a comment. Chief, you've been doing a lot of work on this project and the moving right down to going over and vacuuming. So thank you for
had my wife over there working. That's about the only way we get to see each other is she's, I'll come over and help you. So she was dusting and vacuuming and stuff like that too. So
thank you for all of the hard work. Just a fantastic, great job.
Thank you.
Okay, good. All right, moving along.
Item B is a last minute entry. We have if it's okay, we have a request for secondary employment from Tammy Shepherd. She will be working part-time at the Fredonia Police Department, I think basically doing what she does for us, which is entering records and maybe typing reports and things like that. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that this will interfere with her position at all. It's very part-time, and the hours basically are whenever she wants to go up there. Having had the experience of working up in Fredonia, I know how that place is run, and essentially it's when I have some free time, I'll go up and take care of this kind of thing. So.
Okay, good. Yeah, I see her request dates back to June since we didn't have a July meeting. It's been on the shelf for a while.
Yeah.
But if you have no problem with that, I don't see any problem here. Commissioners, any comments on that? Okay. Since it's not an item on here, I don't think we can take any action other than giving blessing on this. Is that correct? Any problems? No? Okay.
Nope.
Consider it done then. Thank you.
All good then.
Right. Okay, well, let's then move on to fire department.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, Chief.
I figured we would just go through June and then go through July as we do normally. So I guess we will start with the EMS invoices for June.
Sure. Any concerns there, Chief?
Nope. Ambulances are starting to show signs of their ages, just, you know, similar to what Chief Czarnecki was saying. Air conditioning in both ambulances went out within a month of each other. So you'll see an invoice for Renner's fire equipment and doing 452s, and then an invoice in July for 451. Other than that, everything's pretty standard. As far as fire department invoices go, not much to report there. Hose testing is the big ticket item. We contract with a company called Firecat that comes in and does our annual hose testing for us. It's nice because they have the correct equipment to do hose testing. You know, it's a little bit more complicated than, you know, back 20 years ago when we just hooked it up to the truck and pumped it as hard as we could and made sure nothing broke. There's NFPA standards that we have to follow. It also gives us a lot of time back because we're using at least three or four trainings a year to do hose testing, and now that company comes in and does it for us, so we get those nights back for training.
Yes, sir.
Chief, just curious, will that be an easier process in the new facility?
More room? Hose testing? No, we actually use the Hollander chocolate lot. They're gracious enough to let us use that lot. So they can lay out 300 feet at a time and test all of those sections. So they get through our entire fleet in a day and a half or so.
Good for Hollander.
Yeah, they've been super gracious about doing that the entire time that they've had the building. We try to schedule it on Monday when they're closed, but even then, they've more than gracious enough to work around us if we needed to bleed over. So
that's great. We should give them a little.
Yeah, we did. Send him a nice thank you.
Thank you.
EMS calls in June. It continues to be busy. 140 calls in June. We actually ended up with 140 in July as well. You're seeing that these are all largely our calls. We haven't been doing many intercepts, one or twosie here and there. But we did have three mutual aid requests for second ambulance calls, as we'll talk about in our later agenda items. Staffing has been a little bit challenging as of late, so that leaves us when we're at minimum unable to staff a second ambulance. So we had a couple of calls where somebody was not available, and you'll see those are typically later at nighttime calls. So that said, you know, looking back a few years ago when we were farming out 50% of our calls, having essentially 9 total throughout the course of the year is a significant improvement, but something that we're trying to work on internally.
And response times are still looking good at a little over 6 minutes.
Yes.
Very good. Thank you. Tell us about fire calls for June.
June fire calls are kind of all starting to run together in my head a little bit. I don't think there is anything too exciting there except for a cat from a tree rescue. Yes, it does happen. I think we have significantly razzed the firefighter who got his picture on social media doing it. So, yeah, that's... But otherwise, nothing super exciting there.
Okay, good.
And then moving into July.
Great.
EMS invoices. Significant things there. Again, we already talked about the air conditioning repair for 451. Our billing collection numbers were up significantly, which is good because that's a percentage of our reimbursement. So the higher we see the ambulance billing collection fee means we're doing better from that standpoint. And then we have a pre-employment physical there for a new member that we'll talk about shortly.
And Chief, tell us a little more about the ambulances. How old are those and how many miles? When are they going to be replaced?
Both of them are due for replacement in 2020. Well, one is due in 28 and one is due in 29. if we can get them by them. So that's something that I've been talking with the finance director about. We're likely going to have to kind of go through a process similar to the ambulances or the engine about lead time issues. We have been working with a vendor to help put together a spec so we can send it out for proposals from multiple vendors so we can cross all of those things off the list. But ambulance 451 has about 90 and 100,000 miles on it right now. These are gas motors. When these two were purchased, they were spec'd as gas motors, so it's not the old diesel that'll run forever and ever and ever anymore. And it's not just the chassis, the box shows, you know, age with it. And as we change, you know, operationally, that's the biggest thing. You know, when these things were built, if you would have told me they would have been staffed by full-time firefighter paramedics, I'd have laughed at you. But obviously, you know, needing storage for their turnout gear, breathing apparatus, those type of things are going to be included in the new ambulance because that stuff just doesn't fit in the current layout. So we're also trying to plan for the future as we're working on the designs for these. Hopefully they can be remounted once we get the body style how we want them with the next iteration of ambulances. Hopefully we can get two chassis out of each of them. So,
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Chief, question on the ambulance billing collections.
Yes.
If I'm remembering correctly, we approved this as kind of a new process like in the first quarter of this year. And I'm just wondering if you could say more about it. Do you think it's going well? I know we were spending enormous amounts of staff time and it wasn't really efficient and we weren't collecting. And
as far as I don't think we made any significant changes to what we were doing.
Okay.
We did have some meetings with our ambulance billing provider to make sure that some of the issues that we were having are ironed out. Since that time, I think communication with them has been significantly better. We have a new customer success representative, I think is their specific title, who has been significantly more responsive than our previous. But there's always issues with, you know, people getting bills for work comp things that, you know, it didn't get entered as work comp, you know, either on the hospital side or, you know, vice versa. So we always have little things here and there, you know, and as these billing companies become larger and larger and larger, it's just like any other corporation, as they get bigger and bigger and bigger, sometimes customer service wanes. But when we get those concerns, we take them seriously and we have a pretty quick follow-up with our rep to make sure those things get corrected pretty quick.
Okay, and you're happy with the, I mean, they have a percentage, right? But it's
yes, if you look at, you know, when we went, you know, when we stayed with EMSMC, EMSMC purchased Andre's Medical Billing, who was our previous provider, and their collection rates, you know, are significantly higher or at least somewhat higher than, you know, what the national average is or if we went with a smaller firm. So that's part of the puzzle too, you know. Ambulance, EMS billing, medical billing, all of those things involve insurance are exceedingly complicated. So it requires them to kind of be persistent. And that's why, you know, their fees are what they are, because it takes a lot of time. In fact, I just talked with them on Monday to make sure all of our Medicare and Medicaid stuff was buttoned up, because there had been some stuff that fell through the cracks a couple years ago that needed to get buttoned up.
Okay. So. Great. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions about July billing invoices? No? Okay.
Fire invoices pretty low for the month of July, probably because we've been spending most of our time getting stuff ready for the transition to the new facility. You'll see fire alarm inspection and monitoring. That kind of goes back to your question before about you know, working together with the police department. So this is our half of the fire alarm system. Monitoring, we're, like I said before, we're taking care of the fire alarm inspection and monitoring, and then they're taking care of the sprinkler system. So their invoice is pretty similar to ours. Mm-hmm. So. Okay. EMS calls. Sorry, my computer's a little laggy today. Too many pages of things to flip through. Strangely, exact same number of calls as June. a couple more intercepts. Again, you know, kind of waxing and waning, whether that's, you know, Fredonia's on a second call or whatever the case is. It's typically, you know, we're averaging 2 to 3 intercepts a month right now, but as their staffing fluctuates just like anyone else, you know, those numbers kind of bounce up and down. Response times in July dropped below 6 minutes, average in the city of 5 minutes and 37 seconds, which is great. And no facility-based lift assist. We've been doing pretty well with that since the ordinance passage last year.
Good.
A couple of mutual aid requests. Both of those were third ambulance calls, or sorry, two-thirds of those were third ambulance calls. As you guys know, don't have a third ambulance, but both of those calls got first responders going to them, so at least somebody's coming, getting to the patient quickly, and at least starting care while we're waiting for our friends from Ozaukee Central to show up and help us out. Okay. Fire calls. So this is the first month in, I think, our department's history that we hit 50 fire calls in a month. 40 is quite high. We had 41 the month prior, and we eclipsed that. Last year, we had 2 months for the first time ever above 40. We've done that like 4 months already this year. We are well on our way to 2,000 total calls this year, which will be significantly higher than where we've been in the past. So.
Looks like you responded to 4 or 5 mutual aid calls.
Yeah, I believe the 12th was one of those strange days. We had 3 fires in one day, one of them being our own on Terrace Drive. We responded to a fully involved garage fire at 1 in the morning. By the time I got on scene, flames were already through the roof of the garage and it had partially already collapsed. Our crews got on scene very quickly and were able to knock down the fire as best they could and prevent significant damage to the interior of the house. There was still some smoke damage and those type of things, but the fire didn't spread maybe 10 feet past the firewall in the garage. Our friends from the police department also did a great job helping get the neighbors evacuated and doing some forcible entry practice to make sure the people next door were out and safe, as well as making sure the residents of that home were out. Then we ended up going to Newburgh for a fire at 1 in the afternoon. And as we were on our way back from that one, we went to Cedarburgh for another fire.
Is that how we got the 347 response time?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. In fact, I was coming through Cedarburgh as that page went out. So I was there probably faster than some of the Cedarburgh units were getting on scene.
Nice.
So.
Good work. Okay. Commissioners, any questions about June or July fire information? No? Okay. Good.
All right. Okay. So a couple of things to run through quickly.
Question on the revenue.
Did you want to go through the chief's report, or do you want to do the budget next?
Oh, okay.
It's in there.
It's up to you. I just want to be sure we didn't miss the revenue. I'm just scrolling.
Don't worry. I'll get you there.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Okay. So just a couple of things from a staffing and personnel perspective. Firefighter paramedic Brad Wachter has resigned and accepted full-time employment with the City of Brookfield Fire Department. He started there on August 10th. We wish him well and good luck. That means we will be starting a recruiting process to fill that vacancy in the short term, in the near future. So, next on my list, Lieutenant Andrew Klopp has requested to move back to the rank of engineer. Engineers are the folks that drive, pump the vehicles instead of riding in the right front and kind of being on the line. Andrew was an engineer for a long time before becoming a lieutenant and his request to move back to that position. So I will honor that request unless there's any objection from the Police and Fire Commission.
Any objections? Hearing none, continue on.
Wonderful. I'd like to announce the hiring of a new part-time firefighter EMT, Isaiah Mullins. Isaiah's been with us for close to a month or so now, has been doing well, quickly progressing through his orientation. Isaiah is a former defensive end for the Wisconsin Badgers, so he will not be the hard one to pick out when you see him on a call. All right, Commissioner Dean, now's your chance. Let's go through the budget. So I've provided the quarter two budget in our packet for you guys to review. Just kind of going through, you'll see our EMS revenue is up a little bit beyond what we expected. We forecasted about 800,000 and we're at 430,000 so far this year. And as our call volume continues to increase, I would anticipate that continuing to increase. That does not include our GMET funding, or there's a program through the state that essentially helps offset some of the cost of what we're losing when we bill Medicaid patients. So that adds between $12,000 and $15,000 annually, sometimes a little bit more, sometimes a little bit less. But that's a program that started technically last year, but it was retroactive to the year prior. Amanda, our administrative assistant, does a great job doing that for us. It takes a lot of work for her to go through and catalog all that, those calls and all of that revenue, and put that into the state portal to collect that. As I'm sure you can imagine, that portal is way more complex than it probably needs to be, but she does a great job taking care of that for us. So that'll be miscellaneous revenue when that's received as well. Expenditures, as you can see, we're kind of creeping up on our overtime as well. We're at 53%, but see the previous comments before about staffing issues. With the departure of three full-time personnel this year, we've had to post a fair bit of overtime to make sure we're at least at our staffing minimums. We always do try to fulfill those positions with part-time personnel, but those folks obviously only have so much time available to give, and the ones that are working their maximum hours can't really help us more than they are. So typically a lot of those shifts fall on full-time staff to pick up. One thing that I would like to note in here, both on the fire and the EMS side, is the life insurance is significantly higher than what is budgeted. I did talk to the finance director about this. This was an oversight on their part this year about forecasting for life insurance and not including full-time personnel into that. So that'll be corrected in the 2027 budget. But a lot of those, that's in kind of the section that's maintained by City Hall and not really touched by us. The rest of the GLs seem to be going okay. Computer services, that one, you know, when you see it, it says 419% over. That's only because that line item closed this year and got rolled into something else, but that was a carryover bill from 2025 that made its way into this year. So there's nothing to be concerned about from that standpoint. And as you can see, our software fees in the line item below is only at 13%, which will cover that significantly. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if anybody has any questions, I'm more than happy to take them. You know, similar sentiments about our vehicle maintenance costs are, you know, as we continue to age our fleet, those fees keep going up. And we're trying to stay ahead of that as best as we can. So we're still trying to do some preventative maintenance things, replacing tires, doing those type of things as budget allows. But we're trying not to get behind on those things, because that's where we see these, you know, astronomically priced repairs, because we've neglected the preventative maintenance things.
Joel, you have a question.
Just a quick one. When does the insurance tax from the state, when do we recognize that revenue or receive it?
Oh, the GMET stuff?
Yeah.
Usually we get it probably, should be relatively soon. I would say end of quarter two, early quarter three.
Okay, 80,000?
Oh, no, it's significantly less than that. It's probably, like I said, between 15 and 20,000.
Maybe we're talking about a different thing then. It's forecasted at 80?
Are you talking about the EMS call billing?
I'm talking about fire insurance. That from
That's 4, the 2% dues. That should be here by now.
Yeah.
So I don't. That should be here.
It'll show up next time, probably.
Yes, that likely will. Yeah, we did our 2% dues audit. I think we talked about that a few meetings ago. So just waiting for that to post. But that should have been here by now. So okay. I will follow up with the finance director.
And that's a pretty clear line. You forecast 80 and you get 80.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I mean, it's within $1,000 or two.
Okay, so thank you.
Yep. Yeah, but that'll be there for sure.
Good.
Any other budget questions? Carry on.
Okay. Update on the brush truck and the progress of the new engine. So we have finally placed the new brush truck 457 into service after Monday night's training with our driver operators. It's replacing the 1992 GMC brush truck as our primary brush and kind of quick attack vehicle. It actually does a lot more things than the previous brush truck did. It's equipped with a significantly more powerful pump. The previous brush truck had, I believe, a 7.5 or a 5 horsepower motor. The new one has a 35 horsepower motor on it. And the reason that we did that is it will allow us to essentially pump a standard firefighting hand line for areas, especially in the town along those residential roads by the lake that you really can't get a fire truck down. So at least we can get down there and use real firefighting equipment to try to get a knockdown if we have something down there. It also is something that we would utilize on the interstate for car accidents if we need a hose line or something like that because it's equipped with foam. It's got a 225-gallon water tank, which can be fed from our tanker truck. There's twin hose reels off the side as well. This brush truck has breathing apparatus. Again, if we're going to do interior structural firefighting with it, we need those type of things. So it's a significantly more advanced vehicle than its predecessor. We are about $40,000, between $30,000 and $40,000 under budget on this project, largely because we kind of construction manage this vehicle in-house. In fact, Cedar Grove Fire Department was down here last week to take a look at ours. They had a bid out for something similar, maybe with a few different bells and whistles on it. They were getting quotes back for about $250,000. Ours will be done for about $135,000 to $140,000.
Good work.
On top of that, we also got a $10,000 grant from the DNR. To partially fund some of the equipment on the vehicle. Like I said, a lot of that comes back to our in-station personnel putting in a lot of work. Deputy Chief Betcher installing, you know, all the lighting, you know, so the crews throughout the day helping him get those type of things done. You know, even putting, you know, the lift kits on and making sure the tires get on and doing all that kind of stuff. So a lot of, you know, thanks goes out to those guys and we're getting all of that stuff done in-house to save us on budget side. Progress report on the engine. I don't really have a lot of great news to report. We were initially planning on September 23rd as a delivery date. I received a message from Reliant Fire Apparatus that will likely be pushed back till the end of October. Nothing on our end that we could do about that or caused by us, just production delays and manufacturer delays and them having issues sourcing materials. It sounds like there is a chance that we could still get it in September, but they just wanted to prepare us for that. I know they are working on it. I did get graphics proofs sent to me last week, which we sent them back for revision, but it will be here before the end of the year, come hell or high water, is what I'm told. And we've been working on trying to spec and order all of the other things that go on at the hose and all of that kind of stuff. So when it gets here, hopefully the turnaround time to get it in service is pretty quick and we don't drag this project over into the next budget year unless we have to.
Chief, just a question about how you're disposing of the old two old trucks. Have you given any thought how you're going to do that?
Yes. The brush truck will go on Wisconsin surplus in probably the next couple of weeks. Obviously, with a move to the new building, we've kind of trying to prioritize getting operational out of that place. But as soon as we are moved over there, we will be putting that vehicle on Wisconsin surplus. We've actually reached out to them to see if that truck is worth more with the skid in it, so the fire pump in it, or if we lift that out and sell that separately, if we will get more for the truck that way. Because it's a 1992, you know, like 3500 GMC without a ton of miles on it, those things actually collect a...
It's a cream puff.
Yeah, they collect a pretty good value on that. So sometimes when the firefighting equipment is left in it, it actually decreases the value in that. So we've reached out to them to try to see which option is better, because taking the skid out is, you know, a couple hours in a forklift. So we should be able to handle that. As far as the engine, we've listed it. We've listed 464, which is the engine that it's replacing, on a couple of different fire truck broker sites. We've had a couple of nibbles, I guess, but no serious takers. So if we do not have a serious buyer by the time the new one is set to arrive, we will also put 464 on Wisconsin surplus.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, any other questions about those?
Yes, sir.
Sure.
Chief, as we approach near final budget time with the city, and I know we're going to be reviewing that with you and previewing it yep. for the council, it would be really helpful. You got a humble team over there, but it would be really helpful if you had a side column or notes for us or whatever on, for example, coming in under budget on the fire truck, a little bit of work that you guys did there to be sure we came in under budget. You've had some creative revenue proposals this year, whether they were approved or not. Could we include all that so it's more than a footnote on the budget?
Absolutely can.
Yeah, yes. I think as we continue to try to push for resources.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a helpful argument.
I do owe you guys a meeting about the budget here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. We'll, Ed and I will get to you. But I think that should be a part of our presentation.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Thank you.
Lastly on my list is just a quick update on the public safety building. Largely echo Chief Czarnecki on this. It's been a fun couple of weeks as we're trying to kind of get sorted out and sort through the things that we didn't anticipate finding. Honestly, there hasn't been a ton of them on our side. It's just making sure that things are functioning, you know, outlets all work, and the garage doors aren't causing us problems and those type of things. So, you know, the plan is to be operational in there late Monday night, early Tuesday morning. We'll use this month's fire training for the vehicles coming over and everybody's turnout gear coming over that night. Our last big holdup was building access. We got permissions and instructions on how to do that today, so we couldn't do that because our staff getting in the building is kind of a barrier to us working in that building.
Aren't you used to making forced entries?
Yes. Turns out we're not very gentle and it costs a lot. And I don't think we have a forced entry repair line item in the budget. No. Okay.
Checking.
Yeah. So, you know, I think we're excited to make the move. Again, you know, similar to Chief Czarnecki, we had budgeted in the project having movers come and do a lot of the work. But our crews, especially during the day, have been, hey, what can we do to help? What can we do to help? And doing 90% of the work to the point where I don't think we will be hiring movers either. Yesterday, I you know, walked out on the apparatus floor. The dining room table from the current station is there. The gear dryer and the tool bench is all there, which are exceedingly heavy. So I don't know what magic they did to get them out of the station, nor do I probably want to know what they did to get them out of the station. But so that is a significant expense. Again, you know, thanks to our staff coming in, you know, either off shift or giving up their free time to just help with these things to make the move both cost effective and smooth for us. So IT was there today to start getting our computers up and running. It's been a pretty big lift for us. You know, we're coming from a place where, you know, we are using a router that once existed in my college dorm for our internet, to having multiple IT closets and, you know, more computers than probably both of our current facilities combined, which are needed. You know, it's 2026 and our current facility, you know, was built in 1968 or 69, and not a lot of it has changed in there, but it's a lot of work getting that infrastructure up and running today. In fact, I just was messaging one of the guys who's working on building an internal television network for us. So all of our screens will have up to the minute CADs, security cameras, our response information, all of that stuff just run through the TV. So you can, it's just like a channel. So
great.
Again, but also doing that on his own time, building it for us right now. So I can't say enough to all the guys that are over there. One last thing I wanted to mention about that is the decommissioning process. Last week at GGF, they approved a contract with Bickler Auction Services, who will be doing a decommissioning auction at both of our sites the third week of September. Essentially, everything that's not bolted down and not moved over by then is up for auction. All the things will be posted online. Then people can go on and bid on them and then come pick them up. I think it's the Friday and Saturday of that week. I think we both agreed that this is the most effective option for us. Instead of trying to go and individually list everything on Wisconsin Surplus, like imagine listing every office chair and desk and all that kind of stuff. And if you've ever listed anything on Wisconsin Surplus, you'll get 40 emails about an office chair. Yeah. And somebody wants to come see it and sit in it and, you know, do both handles work? Does just one handle work? You know, like, can yep. you take four more pictures of it? Neither of us have the time to do that. So having a third party come in and do that for us is a great way for us to still get revenue from the things that are in the building, but also protect our time and our staff's time in order to get out of there. So. Bickler Auction Services. They are local, B-I-C-H-L-E-R. They are out of Fredonia, and they, out of Belgium. They're probably going to come after me if they hear that. They're out of Belgium, and they contract with a larger auction house that helps them list and all that kind of stuff.
Is there a contemplated date for this you mentioned?
It is the third week of September. I have to look at the contract again for the exact dates.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. That's all I got.
Here's a question for both chiefs. Had residents ask about open houses of the new facility?
Sure, I can answer that one. Yes, okay. So October 11th will be our open house. Time will be posted shortly. We will be doing a ribbon cutting or a hose uncoupling, which is way cooler than a ribbon cutting. And then open house for both fire and police, correct?
Yes.
So great. We've got a lot of cool stuff planned already. The sprinkler trailer from the National Fire Protection Sprinkler Association will be here. The Coast Guard will be bringing one of their boats on a trailer, obviously. Cool. The Sheriff's Department is going to bring some stuff from emergency management and likely the SRT folks. And we have been in conversations with the Air National Guard, and they seem supportive of actually bringing and landing a Black Hawk helicopter.
Great.
So,
great. I'll mark my calendar for October 11th. Yeah. Anything else, Chief?
Oh, you had a question.
I have a couple. Thanks.
Oh, sorry.
Great. So I know we lost a significant amount of storage due to the HVAC equipment and a little bit in the, or another significant amount in the vehicle repair area. How are you doing on storage as you get closer to moving?
We're working on it.
Working on it?
We're working on it. Okay. Yeah, it's going to be tight, but we're working on it.
Okay. And then how did the training, I noticed the National Guard helicopters, we had two trainings, right? One on North Beach and one on at Cold Dock Park. How did that
yes,
go?
Yes, so they were supposed to be within the same month, but unfortunately we had to rain date the one in Upper Lake Park. Both of them went well. The first training was essentially a kind of dry run, getting to work with the helicopter crews, kind of learning their expectations of things, approaching the helicopter, those type of things. The second one, we actually did some victim picks off of the bluff. both with our Bluff rescue team, coupled with their crews from the Blackhawk. So they would drop somebody down from the Blackhawk, we would package them, and then they would hoist either one of their guardsmen or rescue Randy, our training victim. So then they would land the Blackhawk in the park, and then they would offload them to our waiting ambulance crews, and then we had a EMS scenario set up in the back of the ambulances. Things went pretty well. We pruned a few trees. We did not anticipate the amount of downdraft from those helicopters is significantly more than the old Fish Day helicopter. Yeah. So quick apology to John Crane, but we pruned a few trees a little early for them. But we talked to him that night, and they were fine with it. So, but also, again, thanks to the police department for coming and helping us shut down the park. And
right.
That was super helpful because that meant more of our people could actually participate in the training.
Cool. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, any other questions this evening? No. So looking at my calendar, it looks like September 14th, Monday, September 14th is our next meeting. Back to our schedule. And the last item on our agenda is a motion to convene in closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 1985-1C for the purpose of considering employment, promotion, compensation, or performance evaluation data of a public employee over which this Police and Fire Commission has jurisdiction or exercises responsibility. To wit, review job applications received to date for the position of full-time police chief. This is a voice vote. Ed?
Aye. So moved.
Oh, sorry. Second?
Second.
Okay. And voice vote?
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, we're in closed session.